If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And we're here in, well, let's say it's a de facto recording studio for here for episode 258 of this podcast. We've been in a rich vein of form this year so far. Michael Evans from the National Security Archive in Washington has spoken to us about the importance of a robust truth commission in Colombia. Then we had Adrian Alselma on for 257. You'll know him as the director of the largest English news website in Colombia. And of course, unfortunately, what we were talking about last week on episode 257 has seemed sadly and strangely prescient of events for last Wednesday in Bogota, when there was a tragic loss of life, 21 people, including the driver of a vehicle carrying 80 kilos of explosives into the General Santander Police Academy in the south of Bogota. I was reporting on this from the scene for various news outlets. It was poignant down there, of course, and many questions have been raised. The Minister of Defense is pointing the finger at the ELN guerrilla group, but of course, questions remain, and as the days pass, and as the people are permitted to grieve, more and more truth will out about these very unfortunate events in the Colombian capital. Which brings me really to today's topic, today's podcast episode number 258. I have a very special guest, I believe my first guest from Scotland, who's here with me. Her name is Sarah Jack. And she's working at the Universidad Pedagógica here on the 72nd Street. And those of you who know Bogota, know Colombia, that Universidad Pedagógica is part of the Universidad Nacional, or a wing of it in some way. And of course, it's a teacher college, and we'll know it for the ubiquitous demonstrations that seem to take place in their campus and up and down the 72nd Street. So whenever there's a march or a protest, it's always blocked off. If you've walked past the buildings, it's covered in graffiti, very political graffiti. I wander down there myself a lot to take photographs. I've been down to take photographs during confrontations between the riot police and the students, the encapuchados, so the MAS students. Yes, there's tear gas everywhere, and of course more graffiti and rocks being thrown. So I'm here, and you know, we're in a period of quite a great deal of instability, I think, here in Colombia at the moment. And it's interesting to get someone from the inside of this institution, the Pedagógica, to talk to us a little bit about what it's like teaching in the Pedagógica, for one, what it's like being, you know, an outsider on the inside, and what it's like viewing this, let's say, this hotbed of political activity in this university setting. So let me take this moment and welcome Sarah on Columbia Calling.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. First Scot on the show, so there you are. It's 258 episodes in and I get a Scot, but I'm very pleased to have you here. Well, let's start with it. How did you end up teaching at the Pedagógica, getting this job?
So I'm actually here as part of the British Council program, which sends language assistants to countries all over the world to teach English, either in universities or schools or other higher educations. And yes, so I've ended up in one of the three public universities here in Bogota, which is the Pedagogica.
So it's quite an experience. I mean, are you one foreigner amongst all Colombians, or are there other foreigners teaching with you there too?
Well, I'm definitely the only gringa, the only European or North American looking person in the university. So I stand out a little bit, but there are two other language assistants from Trinidad and Tobago as well.
Oh, cool. So you're not alone out there. But so tell us a little bit. I mean, perhaps you're in a position to tell us a little bit about the student protests that took place at the end of last year and really paralyzed the capital and paralyzed Medellin as well. And were meant to take place on the 17th of January, but of course, with this bomb attack against the General Santander Police Academy, they were cancelled. The protests were cancelled, probably saving you a real headache on Wednesday evening. But tell us a little bit about these student protests. Why are they protesting?
So universities, public universities across the country, have been on strike since the 10th of October of last year, in an attempt to save public universities because there's just a crippling lack of finance for the universities. And the first march took place on the 10th of October, and since then there's been about one every week, I think, alongside other protests and other ways of sort of presenting what's going on with the situation. So yeah, I've been into about five or six marches, I think, since they started. The first ones were actually really, really peaceful, really celebratory, almost atmosphere, so trying to get everybody, you know, really united feeling. But I think as the situation's been getting more and more tense, things, that's also been reflected in the way that people are behaving in the marches and the tensions that between the ESMAD, which is the sort of control police, and the students as well.
Now, I mean, a lot of my listeners and a lot of people out there will say that the marches are infiltrated by, let's see, left-wing rabble-rousers who want to, you know, present problems or so on. I mean, from your position, what can you say about this?
Well, anybody who's being violent during the riot would be a capucho, which is somebody who is sort of in disguise. And at that point, it's difficult to tell who's a student and who is not. But I would say there's a mix of protest from...
But on the whole, it's a peaceful group of people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely the main force behind the movement is a push for a pacifist.
Well, yeah, and the protest. And the head of the student, let's say, union, National mm-hmm. Students Union, mm-hmm. is from Medellin. He's an incredibly well-spoken, very organized student, and mm-hmm. he knows what he's talking about, and he's united the student groups, and it seems very legitimate to me. The need for more money into public universities to let's say, expand the options mm-hmm. of public education in Colombia. Is there a feeling that it's deliberate, this lack of money being put into public universities?
Sorry.
That's all right. Well, no, I don't know. It could be deliberate, but it couldn't be. But I've heard of some people talking about it. There's the desire to sort of, let's say, strangle the economic flow into these universities so that universities mm-hmm. end up being a private entity, and therefore public universities don't need to be. It's one less burden for the state, let's say. But...
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's been such a decrease in funding going into the university since, and I think it's been pretty much frozen since 1992, and the matriculation since then has obviously escalated so much that it's just not been feasible to keep the budget at the rate it is, and I think that's what's been brought to a head mm-hmm. by this protest.
But it's also, what I found very interesting is that you've got marches against or demonstrations against the Attorney General taking place mm-hmm. for reasons of corruption. We're still watching that. There was meant to be one as well on Wednesday evening, but mm-hmm. of course cancelled due to events in Bogota. And then you've got these student marches. At the same point, other unions were also joining up mm-hmm. to these marches because there's just a feeling of unrest and unhappiness at the moment given. And the government's not very strong. I mean, you know, the government doesn't have a majority in Congress. If one of the parties of the coalition steps out of line, they're very much in the minority. And so, I mean, we can say quite openly, it's a weak government. The students really, in my opinion, really brought the government to a standstill. I mean, it was very effective. So, I mean, they did promise more money, right? I mean, they did.
Yeah, the budget has been expanded by 4.5 billion pesos now, which is what they asked for.
Oh, wow.
So it's been granted now.
I see, you know, see, things that I didn't read. Well, so actually, the government ceded to the demands of the protesters.
Yes, it seems so.
Well, there you go. I mean, if you didn't believe in popular demonstrations, then they had it. But I think also it shows the weakness of the government. I mean, it shows that they had to, even though he's, you know, President Duque is at the beginning of his term, he should be in a strong situation. But actually, his rating at the moment is around 28% popularity. That's more akin with a president going out, leaving his four-year tenure. So very interesting indeed, this. The government has seen this. And so will the strikes be lifted then? Because, we were meant to have one on the 17th. That was last Wednesday. Is there another one planned?
Well, the Christmas holidays, or the sort of end of term, has just ended. And universities are due to start back on Monday. But there's debate over whether they'll continue striking or not, and that will be decided in an assemblea, which is basically the huge meeting for the whole university, which will take place on Monday.
Hang on a second. So an assemblea, a meeting for the whole university, there in the Pedagogica?
Yes.
And how many people attend?
I think, well, it's hard to tell, but it was so full the last one that I went to. I think maybe 1,000 people or more.
1,000 people.
A lot of people.
And knowing Colombians and knowing press conferences from my background, every journalist wants to have a question. Is equal weighting given to every single person in the assembly? Do they all talk?
Well, the idea is that anyone can talk if they'd like to talk. But that's quite hard to organise with 1,000 people, I think. But I think it does work fairly well, as long as you kind of make yourself visible enough when you do want to speak, sort of wave your arms and shout loud.
I can just imagine it being chaos. There's chaos in there. 1,000 people all trying to be heard. But okay, so you were at university in Scotland. Did you ever see anything similar to this?
Definitely not. This is definitely a completely new way of doing things.
Well, it's fascinating to think. You know, so I've taken photographs of the exterior of the Pedagogica, and I've wandered around and I've talked to people. I've even talked to the doormen there. And again, I've been there when there's been some tear gas. But I don't know what it's like inside. I mean, is it as sort of run down and ramshackle as it looks from the outside?
Well, one of the big reasons that there were the strikes in the first place is because there is some huge infrastructural problems with most public universities. For example, the biology department in the Pedagogica is falling down. You know, the ceiling has fallen down. And there are a lot of problems, like not enough chairs in classrooms. I definitely wouldn't say it's a negative environment at all. I think it's really, people really make the most of everything. And
well, it's this prestigious university. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's say it's amongst the best for teaching college, teacher training in Colombia. I'm left a little bit agog at the idea that there aren't enough chairs. I mean, the most basic element for a classroom. Not enough chairs in the classroom. So are you always watching students dipping in and out different classes trying to find chairs?
Somebody will usually come into a class looking for a few chairs, but that's largely due to them being used as a sort of a barricade method sometimes as well.
It's not a lack of government funding. You have ulterior uses as well. Fascinating stuff. Now, before we end this first segment of the show, how did you feel coming to Colombia and doing a little bit of research about the Pedagogica, knowing where you're going to teach? Well, I mean, obviously, if you did a Google search, it would come up with the images of riots and so on. I mean, how did that reflect for you?
It's quite hard to do research on the university coming from an Anglophone background, because you don't really come across much online. So there was such a disparity between the Google images of riot police and tear gas being thrown in the street, and then speaking to people who are from Bogota and saying, oh, it's a fantastic university, you know, my cousin's there, and really great education. So that was an unusual perspective to come from, I suppose.
And did you show the links to your parents?
I don't know if they found them themselves, but...
They weren't overwhelmingly pleased, but equally so. I mean, it's a great experience to have. I mean, you're not here forever. You've got this experience, and, you know, you'll take it with you. So we're going to wind down this first segment of the show. We're talking to Sarah Jack, who's working through the British Council, but at the Universidad Pedagógica, the hotbed of, let's say, demonstrations and, the demonstrations. Well, here you heard it here. I mean, I didn't know that the government had granted the 4.5 billion that the students had asked for. So I would assume, after this assemblea, where 1,000 people will talk, how many hours will that last?
Probably nine.
9 hours. It's like a sitting. It's like I'm seeing Kent State in Ohio and stuff like this. I'm seeing the 1970s and anti-Vietnam protests. It's really an interesting thing to hear about someone who's had the opportunity to be there. So we're winding down this first segment of the show. It's episode 258. Thank you for listening thus far. We'll be right back and we'll talk further about some of Sarah's experiences at the Pedagógica, because I know she has some anecdotes about the interior of the university itself. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Yes, we're back. This is Richard McCall. I'm here with Sarah Jack, a Scot, who is working at the Pedagógica University here in a very well-heeled section of Bogota. It's certainly a different experience for Sarah being at the Pedagógica, and I know she's enjoying herself. Let's just take a moment again to reflect on the instability that's occurring in the country and the sadness and the tragedy of last Wednesday, the bomb attack, which has left 21 people, including the driver of the car with explosives, dead, 21 fatalities at the General Santander Police Academy in South Bogota, really has thrown a spanner in the works for, a stable year, 2019, for President Duque and for the country as a whole. So your guess is as good as mine what's going to occur in the rest of this country. I would hate to predict anything, because it's Colombia, anything could happen. But moving back to the Pedagógica University, I understand. Sarah, I mean, you really love teaching there. They've adopted you as if you were one of their own.
Yeah, it's a really fantastic university. Students are just so motivated, so switched on, and they catch me out a lot with my English.
They catch you out. But you've got a very soft accent, so of course they do understand you as well.
Hope they don't confuse them too much.
Well, I mean, yesterday I had to ask someone in a call centre to reduce their regional accent a little bit. But she said, no, but I can put you through to the English. I went, no, Spanish is fine, but your accent is really strong. If you could just sort of tone it down a little bit. I don't want to say where she's from. It was hard in that respect. So, but tell us a little bit more about the Pedagógica, because again, I've never been inside, and it looks like to me it's falling down, but now with the 4.5 billion going towards public universities, maybe they can paint it again and get enough chairs for barricades and for lessons. But I understand there's some interesting sculptures within the campus.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the Pedagógica is located quite interestingly in that it's a state university, really left wing, right in the centre of the business hub of Bogota. So you've got all these huge skyscrapers of really fancy businesses just all surrounding the university. So when there is sort of riots and disruptions, you kind of get these businessmen kind of looking down with their coffees from from their balconies, which is just such a strange
it's
scene.
Kind of incongruous. I mean,
exactly.
Like you said, this far left wing university in the heart of the capitalist economics, market area, and the Bolsa de Valores, the stock exchange.
Yeah.
So you see them peering down in their Armani suits.
Just about.
Yeah.
And in regards to the sculptures, it's definitely there's definitely a sense of pride of the revolution, I suppose, mm-hmm. within the university. On my first day, I was taking a little tour around the university, and graffiti everywhere. It's beautiful, but really politically strong graffiti. And one thing that I was shown was a sculpture that they have, that they built, and it's the UPN University, Pedagogía yeah. Nacional, logo, built out of empty tear gas canisters, which have been thrown inside the university by police forces.
Empty tear gas canisters used in a sculpture to form the logo of the university. That's yeah. amazing. That's very creative. So you've got that. I guess you've got sort of pictures of los desaparecidos and people like that in there too.
Yes, exactly. There's in one of the buildings, there's a sort of mural, a wall of about 8 or 9 people, I think, who are affiliated with the university, either students or people working there who have either been murdered or mysteriously disappeared.
So, and have you heard about this occurring in recent weeks or months as well? I just have to ask that.
I'm not sure. It's yeah. hard to comment on.
No, because it's a difficult one because we're having so many, you know, it's almost on a daily or other daily basis, mm-hmm. the death of a community or a social leader, you, mm-hmm. you think left-wing student agitators, as mm-hmm. you would call them, you know, are also in the crosshairs, to put yeah. it unpleasantly. But so you've been toured, you know, the Pedagogica, like the back of your hand now, these sculptures.
Well, it's quite small.
It is quite small. But, you know, even up here, you know, I live reasonably close, even up here, I know when there's a demonstration taking place because I hear the explosions, and in these streets around here, the ESMAD, the riot police, mm-hmm. you know, they park their cars waiting to move down. These all look like RoboCop. You
yeah,
know,
black, they look like Star Wars black. Characters coming out.
Oh, terrifying guys! And I've been down as well. And then also, I live up with a view that the waft of tear gas comes up, and mm-hmm. it's unmistakable. Mm-hmm. But, and have you been on the inside of the campus when the tear gas has been fired in?
Yeah, there's been, I think there was maybe 4 or 5 riots in my last semester there.
Just 5.
But it's very organized. It's surprisingly organized. It's almost like there's a protocol. So there'll be a sort of alarm that goes off. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's planning to start a riot will let the rest of the university know about an hour in advance. And then you'll kind of leave campus. If you want to leave, or if you want to riot, you can stay.
Okay, so the right to stay, but you haven't been stuck inside or anything?
No, I've never been stuck inside because I've always made the choice to leave. But one thing to note is that police forces in Colombia aren't allowed inside public university spaces. Mm-hmm. So the reason that your riots take place inside the university is that it's kind of a safe space to riot. And so the structure will tend to be that anyone who's rioting will be inside sort of throwing these homemade kind of potato bombs, is what they're called.
Well, do you know what they're made of?
I'm not actually sure, but they're very DIY, I know. And I think, I suppose potatoes, because they're called potato bombs.
Yeah.
But they're not dangerous, they just make a big noise.
And blow some smoke
yeah.
and stuff.
So they'll be thrown kind of outside the university, and then it'll be a kind of retaliation of tear gas being thrown inside.
So I've always had the idea that the police could storm the university.
No, that's why they stay in the university, is to riot, because...
But then do they not the police just stay outside waiting for the students wanting to go home and then catch them? That's what I would do.
I think that happens sometimes, yeah.
Because, I mean, you put them close to the Transmilenio station, yeah. you know, the police or something, and then each student who seems to be, let's say,
suspicious,
wearing revolutionary-style clothing, mm-hmm. and, you know, you would do a requisa, a search, and so on. Now, these potato bombs are very interesting. My wife worked at a health, consultancy, mm-hmm. economics health consultancy, and one of the workers there was known as the Claw because he blew off several of his fingers
at yeah.
the Universidad Nacional organizing potato
bombs. I've heard
bombs.
A few stories of that happening as well.
I mean, so they are serious. I mean,
I think the building of them is the dangerous part.
Yeah. And he was known famously as the Claw. I mean, he had like 2 fingers on one hand.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen anyone wandering around with 2 fingers? Like
well,
hook.
Somebody lost an eye, I know, last semester. And
that was a rubber bullet, right?
I think it was in a bomb making, but I'm not sure. Okay. But
well, we see all these photos, I mean, of the demonstrations. And of course, they're not, you know, I've seen the ones that go viral amongst students, you know, dancing and, and music and this great feeling fraternity. But then, of course, the stuff that's shown on the mainstream press, of course, is the far negative stuff and blood and destruction.
And I feel like we are painting maybe a slightly bad picture of the university, because it's definitely, that's not what it should be represented by. It's definitely, the most part of the protests have been so peaceful and really creative, like taking classes to the streets, for example, and just sitting on the street or in public parks with big signs and saying, look, this is what the situation is, and this is why we're having a class outside, because the universities are in crisis.
It's very creative. And so these potato bombs, have you received any warnings about them as well? I'm curious, and this is just complete. I went to a very well-heeled university in England. There was never any unrest. I mean, it won an award for the most amount of Coca-Cola. So we got Def Leppard to play. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's definitely a contrast. But the first day, my first day in the university, one of my initial welcome to the university sort of statements from a member of staff was, just the first time you hear a potato bomb go off, just leave. And that was and that was welcome to the pedagogy.
So funny. And I imagine you wrote an email back to your folks about that. I've been told that the first time I hear a potato bomb, just leave. Well, I think that's good advice. And in any situation, first time you hear an explosion, perhaps get as far away as possible. So how do you see this? I mean, okay, the 17th, because of what happened in Bogota, the marches were cancelled. We don't know if they're going to lift the strikes. It would seem to me unreasonable if the students didn't lift the strikes now that they've received the money. But they can always find something to strike about.
I think the money hasn't been received yet.
Okay,
which
so it's
is
just been uttered.
Yes, but I think it's been promised, but we're not actually put into place yet, which is right.
So that's the thing. That's what we're waiting for. And I mean, I guess it will be put into a national sort of fund, which then gets partitioned between public universities and so on. And it's interesting to say, you know, when we talk about the universities, it's not just the Pedagógica and la Universidad Nacional. Of course, you've got the Universidad de Antioquia, the public university there, which, interestingly enough, Álvaro Uribe studied there, a former president. And also in Popayan, there's a very big student movement there. And I think as the streets are so much closer and smaller, you really feel the let's say, aggression between both sides there in those streets. And perhaps the images that came out of Popayan in Cauca when there were the violent images were more, let's say, expletive or grim. Because of the upfrontness of these demonstrations. To anyone coming to Colombia to visit to be in these areas, what is your advice to them regarding unrest, civil unrest, now that you've been in five or six marches?
I feel like we have been painting it as much more aggressive and violent than it really is, I would have to say, because everything has, in my experience here, been very organized and very peaceful. So the only warning I would actually issue would be about transport, because when there's a march, the whole city shuts down. You can't get through. So
yeah, you've got to be aware of this, because it does collapse the city, and it's not just in the area around the incident itself. It collapses the rest of the network. That's the way the network has been built. So you can't run autonomously one part from another.
And it's definitely a really powerful way to communicate what's going on, because otherwise you might not have an awareness of a pretty pressing situation.
Well, that's right, because during the protest they did block much of the Transmilenio, right?
Yeah, so the main road where the public transport goes down is the Caracas, and that's where most of the marches were taking place.
What I found interesting about these marches last year is they didn't march in traditional areas. They marched so as to affect, I would say, more middle class people, because the Transmilenio was built as a mass transit system, but because of the price, of course, people from, I mean, and we've talked about stratification before of Colombia, you know, 1 to 6, 6 being the highest, 1 being the most humble. Really, stratas one and two will try and avoid taking the Transmilenio because of the price. Will try and take buses, or, you know, and especially the alternative buses. Mm-hmm. So the way it has been designed means that stratas three and four take it more, and five and six, you know, they have their shift-driven cars, so they go in Uber or taxi. Mm-hmm. So you really are, if you're blocking the Transmilenio, you're getting the people who work in offices and who work in, let's say, white-collar workers. Mm-hmm. So you really are getting the message across. Now, I haven't met many people who have been against the marches, but everyone says we're against the violence, mm-hmm. just not the marches, even if it meant 8 hours to get home. But it's hard, isn't it, when you affect someone so profoundly like that, a commuter who then...
And regularly, I suppose, as well. Yeah. But the main idea, I think, is to get to the centre, because the final destination is usually Plaza Bolívar, which is right in the centre, and next to, obviously, all the government buildings, so it's much more symbolic to finish up there.
Of course, when you funnel down the Septima and that pedestrianised area, that's where it all gets a bit more... You can feel the aggression a bit more, and the payphones and so on. But it's not always the pedagogy. It's not painted as the worst thing ever. It's not the worst. I know now, including yourself, I know of two teachers in the pedagogica. The other one I know, who shall remain unnamed, is an incredibly correct, lives right in this area, in, you know, upper class Bogotana, mm-hmm. Educated at the Nueva Granada, you know, so the you know, kind of top end, if it was English, you'd say public school, but in the rest of the world, you'd say private school, mm-hmm. up here in the mountain. Mm-hmm. And she loves it.
Yeah.
I mean, she absolutely loves it. And she supports the marches herself, you know. I think that's what it... You do cross certain frontiers, don't you?
Yeah, well, I think the idea behind this protest is to sell public education as a universal human right, almost. You know, they fight for it as a sort of... public education should be free, should be public, and should be digna, they say.
Digna.
Honourable, I suppose.
Public universities, obviously, I mean, they're not free here, but the cost is so much lower than a private university,
mm-hmm,
so the places are sought after by the top students. So you get the most brilliant mm-hmm. students in these universities, despite the Nacional, the roof falling down in one of their buildings and so on. I mean, that would be a deterrent for many students, I think, is it to have plaster or a mamposteria, you know, sort of masonry falling on your head because of lack of funds. So how do you see, I mean, it's a tough question here as we wind down this segment and this show, how do you see, let's say, 2019, you're here until June, I believe, mm-hmm. is that right?
Yes.
How do you see it unfolding in the next few months? Do you think there'll be more protests? Should we prepare? Or should we support? Should we come out in our numbers?
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to say at this point because we don't know yet if the paro will actually continue or if they will resume classes again. If classes are resumed, then the academic year will have to extend right until August because they'll have to do a lot of catching up. But I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen because I think everybody was quite shaken up by last Wednesday's attack, so I don't know if that will have an effect on things.
I would assume there's going to be an effect. I would assume... Mm-hmm. I find that interesting, that comment you said. So the school year will have to extend up to August. You won't see it through to the end of the school
No,
year.
I won't, but... I would hope that classes will resume. I really hope so because I think students are suffering from a lack of classes, and I think that the best way for them would be to continue classes, to lift the strike, but to continue protest outside of university.
Are there students in there that you've seen who've been in there for a shade under a decade because they've been protesting so much?
Maybe. I don't know. That might happen.
How does anyone graduate if they're always on strike? I
mean, yeah.
It's got to be hard.
Yeah. And then there's also the flip side is that if you do lift the strike and you can go back to classes, then you then don't have the leeway to go and protest again because obviously you're not going to be let off class to go in for a march.
It's so complicated, isn't it? It's so complicated, but I do believe in the protest itself. I believe in
of course.
social protests without the violence. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're making, and there's so much inequality here in Colombia that, you know, if students of this nature feel the only way that they can get their message across, well then, you know, so be it, of course. Mm-hmm. And,
absolutely.
But the destruction of private property and, of course, transport stations and so on is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Now, when there were big protests against a certain decree that Álvaro Uribe, the former president, was going to do, was the diverting funds for education towards his democratic security policy. Mm-hmm. Even the private universities joined in, and I took a friend from Seattle down to see them, and he was amazed at this expression of let's say, democratic expression it was a rejection of this. I did see what I would say are infiltrados, but not infiltrados that are violent. There was a clear meeting between people who were linked to guerrilla groups. There were older, now I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying this as an anecdote. It was really, really interesting. There were students waiting around where I was waiting on the Calle 19, the 19th, and I was taking photos. And of course, for starters, they were wary of the photos. Mm-hmm. And then some older, what looked like sort of older teachers came walking down with a Communist Party flag. And that was the signal. That was the signal that the students would join in and talk to them. And it was really interesting because it was definitely a meeting. And they were, the teachers or the older people were upset that I was there taking photographs. Mm-hmm. There was an element. It was the way of contacting. Mm-hmm. And you only notice if you're standing and waiting and watching and mm-hmm. stuff. But again, it's not a minority. It's not a majority. But it's really fascinating to watch because you see all levels of Colombian society in these things. But I'm glad to know that you go out there and join the marches. Mm. I'm also glad to know that you haven't been too affected by the potato bombs and the tear gas. And I'm also very sure that you haven't been throwing bricks at
friends. No, I haven't.
You don't seem like that kind of person. And I don't see you with the cowboy mask on, blocking your nose and mouth, like an encapuchado. But I think what we're saying here is we reject that kind of protest, and we like the peaceful one.
Yeah, I would reject violence on either side, mm-hmm. because I'm not sure that the ESMAD are entirely innocent on this front either.
No, not at all. They are trigger happy, I think, mm-hmm. is the notion of it. Mm-hmm. So, you're here until June. What do you hope to do in the final months of your tenure in Colombia? Are you going to travel a little bit?
I hope so. Yeah, I would love to. I would love to.
Well, if the panel continues, presumably you have no classes, so you could go wherever you want to.
Yeah, it's actually more interesting going in and teaching when there's no classes than when there is, can do it informally.
No lack of chairs, there's no classes. Well, this has been really interesting talking about the panels, the university, let's say, what would you call it?
The strike.
Strike, exactly. The strike, the demonstrations, the government's response, and so on. It's been fascinating talking to someone who's come here for a good period of time and who's on the inside of the Pedagógica. Because part of what I hear and feel about it is that no one's ever studying there. But then that's just the hearsay.
They definitely are.
People are studying.
Definitely.
They are brilliant students.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
They want to improve the country.
Yeah, so and they will.
Yes, and they will. Nice end on such a positive note. Let me take this moment to thank you, Sarah, for your time and sharing these insights with us here at Columbia Calling and my listeners. It's something we don't hear about. And of course, it's something that is now overshadowed by events of last Wednesday, which of course will dominate the news agenda here for some time. And rightly so, we lament the tragic loss of life, mainly 19, 20-year-olds who are just studying in this police academy, an unnecessary situation that, of course, tarnishes Colombia and really, really makes it more difficult for those of us here trying to effect some sort of change. And so condemn it, really. And so thank you, Sarah, for your time. And
thank you.
I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Colombia.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. This has been a great show again here on Colombia Calling. We'll be back next week. We're talking to Matt Aaron, who was here a few months ago. He was here for 8 years. He started up a fruit exportation company, Golden Berries. That's Uchuvas to you and me here in Colombia. He still has his business, but now he's working for Bitcoin.com. So talk about a volte-face in your, his life. And he's on the line to us. He'll be on the line to us from Mexico, talking about Bitcoin's importance in Colombia and indeed Venezuela. And he has some quite interesting insights into the economic model here in Colombia and Venezuela. So don't go away. Be around for next week's episode 259 with Matt Aaron. Very interesting. Today we've been talking to Sarah Jack, Scott, who's working at the Pedagogic. Great experience for this intrepid young lady from Scotland. And we will, of course, check us out on Facebook and check us out on Twitter. That's at Columbia Calling in all. Everywhere you can think about. So we'll be back next week with more fascinating interviews. Thank you again for listening. Bye-bye.